Blessed be the name of the Lord for the great privilege that we may be here, being gathered in His name, hearing His word, and not only that, but going with on our inside, having part in that what God does, and believe with all our heart, just as we heard it now. I also, from my side, I would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. In particular, we are glad when brothers and sisters come from the East. May God bless them in our midst, and may He give us richly so that all can take a full measure on word and blessing back to their homes. We are grateful to the Lord that He prepares the ways, that He opens doors, giving opportunities that the word can be carried, and also that the iron gates are opening, and we really hope that shortly many things will get better, so that the word of the Lord can run unhindered until the ends of the earth are reached, and that the Lord has called His own, and that He can return to take them into His glory. Likewise, we want to welcome all the others, in particular those who are here for the first time. May God bless you, may God bless us, blessing us really visibly, as He did it when He was gracious to His people, and when He was not angry, when His people was found in His will and walked in His ways, and when they were certain that God walked among them, that He dwelt with them, worked with them. When we look at the Old Testament, then there were really different times, times of blessing, of obedience among the people of God. And there were times of tribulation, of captivity, of humiliation, of disobedience. There were different times in the course of history and in the plan of salvation. In the same way, it might be in our personal lives and in the life of the Church of the Living God. We want to get into a time in which God blesses us, where He is well pleased with us, that He feels joy over us, and where He can truly bless. I believe we are on the best way to it. We can do no more than to believe God. And there is the word, I believe, in 1 John, in chapter 5, in verse 10, there it says, "Whoever does not believe God makes him a liar." When God says something and the people don't believe Him, so that what He said, if they don't believe it, then they make Him a liar. Just as if you would tell me something and I would not take it, I would not believe it. What would that be? The sin of unbelief is really the most terrible. It's a direct insult of the Almighty God. Whoever cannot believe God, he will die in his sin, namely in the sin of unbelief. And may God protect us from this. We are grateful for that, that God has helped us, that we could come to Him, believing Him, and that He saved us, that He has forgiven and accepted us, and made us His people by grace. So we are really grateful to the Lord for everything. The word runs, it is being proclaimed, The last ones are called out, no matter who and where they are. And I said it many times, as with Paul, so also in these days, before high and little, it is testified, and God knows whom he can save and who lets himself be saved and comes to him. The choice is not with us. To us was given the command to preach. The rest is between God and the people. Whether they receive or reject, whether they say yes or no, we have no influence on that. But one thing we may do, to pass on God's great offer and to invite wholeheartedly and to call out, be ye reconciled with God. God reconciled himself with mankind on the cross of Calvary in Jesus Christ our Lord. But now the call goes forth, be ye reconciled with God. He reconciled himself with us, but now we have to accept the reconciliation and thank him for it with all our heart. As already said, from these three countries, we have good things to report. As already before, from the Central African countries, it seems as if God has visited this continent in a special way during the past years. People are coming together in multitudes to hear the word of the Lord. Also, especially in Abidjan, we had blessed meetings. Many brothers came from various cities, from neighboring countries, to hear the word of the Lord. Questions were answered. What was not clear was clarified. And I'm always grateful for the connection which we have to the word of God. And I almost dare to say, and this not out of arrogance, some things can happen to me too, but a separation, a loosening from the word of God seems for me to be impossible. I'm a part of the word. The word is in me and I'm in the word. A separation from the word cannot be possible for a true child of God. For the word is the seed, and it says, if the seed remains in you, 1 John, then we cannot sin against God. And then of course, that God's word remains forever, as we heard it. And Jesus said, if my words abide in you, remain in you, not only that you hear them, discussing about them, that they remain in you and become a revelation. If my words abide in you and ye abide in me, this is the point that matters actually in these days. Brother Kupfer showed me earlier a brochure with a long list of various churches and denominations and fellowships. And I looked briefly on it, and also Brother Rus mentioned it. There are people, there are voices which get loud. How grateful we can be that God has spoken to us through his word. Not what this or that direction says, but that what God has said in his word, this is binding for us. In the end, everything will be judged anyway by the word of God. Two announcements. We are asked over and again whether the Lord's Supper could be not celebrated more often in our midst. I can comfort you that on the first weekend in October, God willing, we will have the Lord's Supper. Also, we would like to celebrate it more often. But I probably felt from the very beginning the leading of the Holy Spirit. I didn't want to make a repeating form out of anything, that it becomes a habit. This I didn't want, this I don't like, but we have it often enough in the year and to special occasions. The Pesach was also not celebrated every Saturday or Sunday and so forth. The Lord's Supper, that is called breaking of bread. In the early church, they did this daily, to and fro in the houses. You can read it in the book of Acts. About this, there is no direct ordinance how often it should be celebrated. And from my point of view, when it is being celebrated, then in reverence, that all our heart is in the matter and that Calvary is before our eyes in focus, namely that what happened there. Let us go into our word observation. You all know, here at this place, we obey the word that Paul addressed to the church. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I don't believe that you heard stories that were preached here, but over and again you heard the word of God because this was preached. It is upon my heart that we as the church of the Lord understand that we not only heard the truth, but that God wants to bring us back into the divine order as it is written in the Word, to really build us up on the most holy ground of faith, not only as individuals here and there, but as the overall church being edified. I read from 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3-5. If so be ye have tasted. Do you have it open? 1 Peter 2, verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. May I ask whether we tasted it? The psalm writer said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Here we are asked, or rather, it is being placed as a fact, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. A build-up takes place. He who has tasted and seen how gracious the Lord is. To us, the kindness of God appeared. That's how Paul writes to Titus. God is well disposed to mankind through Jesus Christ our Lord. In His love, He graciously turned to us, and we tasted it. We experienced it, and we are grateful for it. But this is just the beginning. Then we shall come to Him, believing Him, to the living stone that the builders rejected, just as they reject us. There is no true believer who would not have been rejected. As Christ, the chief cornerstone, was rejected, there was no place for him. They said, "We don't know from where this one comes." The people also don't know where we belong. If you would ask in this city, in this country, then most certainly one would get the answer, "This is somehow an international sect," and with this it would be finished. As Christ, the living stone, didn't fit into any other building, and there was no place for it, so also for all who have come to him and who really experienced and tasted that he is gracious and who had an encounter with him, so also they do not fit anywhere, alone into the divine building of which Jesus Christ himself said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It continues here in this text, "Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious." Whoever likes to please men cannot please God. That's how Paul writes it in Galatians chapter 1, probably verse 10. If I yet would like to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. We must make a choice. And I believe all who really tasted that the Lord is gracious, who truly experienced God in his grace, they were loosened from men and their doctrines and have come to the Lord. They were joined with him and his word for time and for eternity. One cannot limp on both sides. In the moment where a person really experiences God, he is done. Then he is added as a living stone, namely grounded on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I read on here in verse 5. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Would one ask the question here with a mind, how can it be possible on one side that we are living stones to be placed into this building, and that we on the other hand should offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God? Can we have two functions? Beloved, when we read the Holy Scripture, and in particular reading it in reference to our Lord, then he was and is many things. He was the Lamb that was slain. He had to be high priest, mediator, advocate. He had to be many things, and he is still today. We can take on many areas of responsibility. Important is only that we made the beginning with God. Oh, that we would all have tasted the kindness of God, that we really experienced God, to then take on the various tasks and functions. I would like to read on in Jude from verse 17. Here is not only written a wonderful word, but a word of deep exhortation, we read Jude from verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. You all know what preceded this statement, how the condition was described, how it would be in the end time, and how it was already then. For the times are not changing too much. Everything remains as it was. It only gets worse. Already back then, Jude said, woe to them, in verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. There is a whole list here. And then the man of God addresses the true children of God, who did not let themselves be misled, but who remain in the Word, and in whom the Word remains. The admonition is, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you, there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, without being violent to the Scripture. I may give here a remark. Not all who have the Spirit has also the Spirit. Did you get it? What should be said by it? All who were begotten by the Spirit, being born again, filled, and having been sealed with the Spirit, they are led by the Spirit of God. And all who are led by the Spirit of God, and only them, and not the others, are children of God. And the Spirit of God leads into all truth. And God's Word is the truth. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. That's how he is described in the Gospel of John. In verse 20 it says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What is this most holy ground of faith? Jesus Christ, our Lord. For thus Paul has also written it, another foundation no one can lay than that which was laid. The word is addressed to the beloved of the Lord, to them who have tasted how gracious he is, who experienced his mercy and love, who have become children of God. And also here, Paul writes, fashioning yourselves as obedient children. One can be a child of God and disobedient. One can be a child of God and obedient. Oh, this we must understand. Did you get it? As obedient children of God, fashioning yourselves according to the will of God. Who of us wants to be obedient? Disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as idolatry. And how much self-will accompanied with disobedience is found in all of the religious world, and maybe even here and there with us. May God give grace, really give grace, that both is no more found, neither self-will nor disobedience. There are the 3, 4, 5 I will of Lucifer before his fall. I will ascend into heaven. I will. And suddenly, when he said it for the last time, I will be like the Most High. Then he fell. There is a I will that does not come from God. And then there is a I will from God. You can read it in Hebrews. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God, and to do thy will is my pleasure. I will. The godly I will was expressed here. And Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. This he said as the Son of Man. Very important also for us. Not my, but thy will be done. And then back to Hebrews. In this will we are once for all sanctified. Maybe I should read it here. It should be found quickly. These are well-known scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Did we get it? Now transferred to all children of God, we are also here on this earth to do the will of God. Before we can do the will of God, we must know what the will of God is for us. Here it continues in verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Not sacrifice and burnt offerings, not what we can offer, but by the one sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the will of God was done in the shape of a man here on earth. And we all have to submit to this will of God. And then comes this wonderful verse. Yes, every verse is wonderful. But here, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It is written, without holiness no one shall see the Lord. But I ask you, and I say this not only to you, but also to myself, this is in connection with the will of God. When we speak of sanctification, then not a sanctification which you and I can work on ourselves here and there a bit, but the divine sanctification in the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is the truth. That we are penetrated by the divine truth of the word. And this without any if and but. So that God's word comes to fulfillment in us. Back to the word in Jude verse 20. A bit on. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, that God could give it to us. to pray in the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 12, "He who prays in the Spirit speaks mysteries with God, and the Spirit utters things which we cannot know." God wants to make His church filled with the Spirit, authorized by the Spirit, a church led by the Spirit, having been sealed with the Spirit. And this is His church. Another church He doesn't have. For thus it is written in Ephesians 1, verse 13, and Ephesians 4, verse 30, that we were sealed after we have received the word of truth. And the word of truth is the word of God, not the interpretations, but really the word coming as the original from the mouth of God. Then it continues here in verse 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." Again a point. Let us come back to Romans. There Paul writes, "Because the love of God was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there are neither fruits of the Spirit nor gifts of the Spirit. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit must grow, but the ground must be prepared so that a growth can take place. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Whoever has experienced mercy will be merciful." And in the Sermon on the Mount it says, "Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed are we if we can be placed into this list." It is good to read on and then the Sermon on the Mount, to have the comparison whether it's right with us or whether some points have to become different. But now comes a special verse, namely verse 22 and 23. "And on some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Divine compassion will not throw a brother or a sister into the fire, but pulling them out with some who doubt. We shall not condemn them, not giving them a blow so that they fall. We shall grab them, pulling them out so that they don't fall into the fire. And if it speaks of fire, then we must read to it the word from 1 Corinthians 3. For this already refers to the day of judgment, not only of getting lost, but there are just people who cannot, because they are bound and cannot help themselves. They have to receive help. By the way, here is the text of the foundation that was laid. 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For another foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then much is reported how one can build. There are different ways of how it can be built. And then this text goes on as follows in verse 15. Oh, we have to read also the last part of verse 13, actually the whole verse. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. When it says here, the one builds with wood, hay and stubble, then that's something for the fire. And the fire makes an end with it quite quickly. But when it's gold, silver and precious stones, and I think here especially to the word of Revelation 3, in the last message, where it says, I counsel thee to buy gold from me that is purified in the fire, and our faith should be found more precious than the gold that is purified in fire. So God wants to give us a genuine, a true faith. And I remember the word, it's in a psalm where it says that God's word is purified 7 times. Amen. We who we believe God's word must go through this divine purification. What does Daniel write? Many shall be purified and tried and made white. There are enough scriptures to prove and show this. Important seems to me this verse, that we with those who cannot yet, who do not see yet what we see, who are not yet, you know what I mean, that we are patient with them, that we don't impute their doubts to them. How much patience did God have with you and with me? And how much patience will He still have with us? Let us also be patient with one another, that there's really an inner compassion could be with us. And as said many times, a true love does not consist in words, but in the deed, having compassion with them and thus pulling them out of the fire. Don't push them in. Pull them out. Do not condemn them. Help them. God wants to make people out of us, whom He can use, who at the right time, at the right place, find the right word to speak it out so that others are helped. Coming back to the thought of this holy ground and the building of God, I would like to read a well-known word from 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Here Paul writes to his faithful co-worker, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. At another place in Hebrews, the apostle writes, God's house are we. Maybe I should read it. It's the best that one reads the scriptures and not only quotes them, for very quickly one could have said something different than what is written. Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. This is Moses, Old Testament. Now we read of the New Testament. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. To reach the goal, one has to come to the end. Half of the distance is of no use to anyone. What does Paul write to the Corinthians? He who runs, let him run rightly, otherwise he will not be crowned. And he who wants to run rightly, let him put off everything what hinders him, to thus participate in this race. You most certainly read it, when this one man had bad luck, that he at the last Olympic Games was caught because he was doped, and then he was disqualified. It was not allowed. We must play according to the rules of God, and we must stay within the limits of the Word of God. There's no other way. And when it's written here concerning the house of God in the New Testament, this house are we. Peter wrote earlier, as living stones, we are fit together. Christ has risen, he lives. And God's building is really a living building. Just like there are no dead members on the living body of Jesus Christ, the head, so there are also no dead stones in the building of the church of the living God. First, a person must have experienced God, having been born again unto a living hope, and thus becoming alive. And only then he can be placed into this building. In the Old Testament, we have a wonderful object lesson. Solomon brought the material needed for the construction of the temple from everywhere. The cedars from Lebanon, whatever was needed, he took it from all over. And everything was worked on. And then finally, without that it had to be sawn or hammered or worked on, then the building was put together in a wonderful way, and no hammering or sawing, that's how it is written, could be heard. We are now made to fit, and I believe that the proclamation serves for the purpose, not that one works on the other, but under the Word of God, we are all taken into judgment. But thanks be to the Lord, not into the condemnation, but into the assessment. And then we recognize where it's not right, and we let ourselves be aligned and corrected to then walk on with the Lord. To the Ephesians, Paul writes in the same direction, in chapter 2, the well-known word to all of us, Ephesians chapter 2, 20 and 21. and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Beloved, we cannot just be satisfied that the word for this time was revealed unto us, and to have heard the message of the hour and to believe it. With this, a high divine goal is connected. When we speak, there might be nothing behind it. But when God speaks, then it happens. He commanded and it stood fast. That's how we read it, probably in Psalms 33. God intends to do something. At the end of the time of grace, there must be a pardoned multitude who had an experience of salvation with God and who was truly prepared as a result of that what since Calvary until the completion must have taken place. Not for our sake, but it was God's eternal plan to have a bride without spot and without wrinkle. And she will be there at the end. John has seen her on the Isle of Patmos in a vision. He saw the completion, a multitude dressed in white, no spot, no wrinkle, nothing, everything just as perfect as God planned it. That's how he saw the church in the completion. And I believe that we understood that it's not just about certain doctrines. They belong to it. The foundation must be right. The build-up must be correct. The doctrine must be right. The life, everything must be right. But finally, we didn't get these things to discuss about it, but to be built up, to be a part of that, what God is doing now. As we said many times, to participate in the last working of God that will happen here on this earth. And out of this reason, God has sent us His Word. And through His Word, He made us well. He sent His Word and made them well. Spiritually or bodily, doesn't matter. What did Brother Branham say with a really torn heart? The sickest body that I know on earth is the body of Jesus Christ. So torn, so smitten, so bruised, the body of Christ. And that's the main thing. This earthly tabernacle we will put off one day. And Brother Rus read so fitting from Isaiah 40. Cry, preach. What shall I cry? What shall I preach? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, and behold, nothing is left of it. Someday, I found a photo. If one has to apply for a passport or driving license, one has to make a photo. And I have found my very old driver license from 1951. And I have seen my photo. And I thought, I look different. But this is the way of humans. We flourish and we wither. But as children of God, we have in us, in our body, in our soul, we have a treasure. And Paul said already, I don't want to be unclothed, but I want to be clothed upon. Not seeing death, but to be changed. But in any case, we take divine substance with us. And here Paul says it also to the Corinthians, should be verse 19 somewhere. And even our earthly body diminishes, yet the inward man is strengthened day by day. No matter how weak we can get in the earthly body, in our soul it sings, Lord, I will be young again. I will see no trace of trouble and death and getting old and sickness and so forth. Then even we, who we are older or getting older, we have a wonderful comfort that we don't have to murmur and complain. Sometimes one feels like to complain, I admit that. But we just remember that God will make everything well, that we just have to go through this earthly life. And then comes the wonderful resurrection day. And to this Paul writes, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Sown is a corruptible body, raised an incorruptible body. If we could just, in every situation, would have the respective scriptures before our eyes, they would give us comfort, they would help us, not only make us sprightly, but they would strengthen us, for thus it is written, of the comfort which the Holy Scriptures give us. And Paul closed 1 Thessalonians 4 with the words, Wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. And before that, what did he set forth here? That the Lord will return with a trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and so forth. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we, who we are alive and remain, we shall be changed, and together we will meet the Lord in the air, and thus be with the Lord at all times. And then it says, Therefore comfort ye one another with these words, a comfort for all of us. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown an earthly body, raised will be a body that cannot grow older, a resurrection body as our Lord had it when he was raised from the dead. And like we also will have it. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Let us summarize what matters to God now. The perfection of His church, which is built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. The Lord has really only one church, and to this one church can all belong from all other denominations, if they serve the Lord, if they obey the call, if they taste and experience how gracious He is, being made alive by the new birth, and then as spiritual stones being fit into this building of God. We are all coming from various churches and denominations. God was gracious to us. He will still be gracious to many. That's how we believe it. He will still call out many, so that His reward will become great, and that Calvary will be worthwhile in full measure. I believe it. I believe that Calvary was worth it. I believe the Lord will have a multitude who believed Him, who trusted Him, and who were obedient to Him. And until the perfection, they will go the way with Him. until we come from believing unto seeing, living stones put together into a divine building in which spiritual sacrifices are offered. Jude said, pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, that God could pour out His Spirit in such a way that all would pray in the Holy Ghost, so that all are settled and built up and established as God wants to have it. I believe it. I believe that the church at the end will be so as she was at the beginning. And if the Spirit fell there, and the people were blessed and used by God, then also we may count with a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And if back then, literally, the place was shaken, with God all things are possible. It wouldn't happen for the first time. Just think of Peter. Or was it Paul? In any case, they were both in prison. I think it was Peter, when suddenly the prison doors opened and he thought it was a dream. It was not a dream. True children of God do not experience dreams. They experience reality. He was laid out. The doors were opened to him. I have no trouble here. Has God not ways and means to open a door and lock it again? God can unhinge any door, any prison He can lift up without cracking it. God can do all things. And for whom does He do it? For His own, who trust Him, also in the hour of trial, really trusting Him, putting their hope in Him. Oh yes, the Lord will bring everything to pass, also with you and with me, with all of us. Blessed and praised be His wonderful and holy name. Amen. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you for the great privilege that we could see and taste how gracious you are. You revealed yourself to us in your great love. We recognized you. We know who you are, the same who you was in the Old Testament. Yahweh of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. The same Lord, the same God, only to accomplish His counsel, He revealed Himself in the flesh. Beloved Lord, how grateful we are for it, that we could experience it, to have been reconciled with God. Savior, we ask you, make us alive. Dear Lord, create yourself a people of pure hearts, who are then sanctified for you. Do it by the power of your blood. Baptize us with fire and spirit, that we glorify you in tongues, that our heart praises you. Lord, you give only genuine and true things, and for this we wait, and with this we count. Faithful Savior, continue to build your church. Include us and complete this building until the moment where it will be said, grace to it, grace to it. For the capstone is in the hand of Zerubbabel. Dear Lord, you are both the cornerstone and the capstone, Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. To you we entrusted ourselves, O Lord. You redeemed us. You have given your blood and life for us. Here we are, dear Lord, with all of your people, we rededicate ourselves to you. Be gracious unto us. Have mercy on us. strengthen us in the faith, forgive, do not impute, and have thine own way with your people. Thanks be to you for your speaking in our days. Your word is not only a written word in the holy book called the Bible. Your word has become alive by revelation of the Holy Spirit, and it's written in renewed hearts, revealed in these last days. Faithful Lord, how great art thou, how wonderful is your name. You are doing great things on us and all over the earth. We ask you, faithful Lord, bless your inheritance, give new grace, give new courage, new strength, new confidence, new obedience to follow you. We know you started and you will finish. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters who are here and for all who cannot be here. Lord, you know where they are. Bless your own all over the earth. And be with all of us. Also in this hour, we bring you the special prayer requests, whatever it might be, especially the wife of our beloved brother from Wolfsburg. May you stretch forth your healing hand and touch her. Virtue goes still out from you. You are the same. Blessed and praised be your holy name. Also in our midst, may you touch now, heal, deliver, bless. I thank you that you are present. Blessed be your holy name. We are no longer a pile of destroyed rubble. We are the house of God, built up anew. Beloved Savior, you showed us the foundation. We were built on it. Blessed be thy name. Upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, you are the cornerstone. We thank you for it. You are adding living stones unto yourself. You said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your souls. I will quicken you. O God, there is a rest for the people of God. And I pray now, Lord, give all this certainty that Calvary has also in their lives become a divine reality, and that we just wait for the completion, for the changing of our body. In the meantime, O Lord, change our life, our heart, our soul, that we become people who walk in your ways. I worship you. I thank you, faithful Lord. You have done great things on us. We praise you for it and glorify your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus, in which alone is grace and salvation. Yes, in which God revealed himself and wherein everything can be found. O Lord, lift up thy countenance over us. Don't look away from us. Look at us through Calvary. Lift up thy countenance over us. Your blessing hands have mercy on us, that we believe and trust you. Yes, give us your peace, your blessing, your salvation. Thank you that you have done it. You did it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.